Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Excited? We certainly are. What a bumper weekend we've got ahead of us. Welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, James Hill, Graham Rodway, and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. Last week's flu-induced pain is this week's gain, because some of the highlights that we should have seen at Newbury last week have been rolled across to a bumper card at Ascot. It is going to be fantastic. We've got five races at Ascot on ITV4, two at Haydock, two at Wincanton, and a bonus in Ireland as well. 10 TV races in all. We will have all the best bets. We'll look at all the other good bets on Saturday as well, and there's also some decent action at Nace on Sunday. We will look at that, and of course, we will get the naps. Now, talking of naps, last week, I struggled to see how we were going to put a show on without tipping at Steepledowns, but the show went ahead in Ireland, and poor old Niall. What happened to your nap, Niall? First of all, how does a Niall O'Reilly nap go off at 33-1? What an insult.
Well, to be fair, it did go off 16, but it was 33 most of the day. But yeah, it just got done on the line, unfortunately.
And it wasn't just a short head. They rubbed it in with a nose, didn't they? That's always even worse, isn't it?
Yeah. He looked up all the way until the photo came through. I think it was a very, very short nose.
Oh, unlucky. Better luck this week. We'll get Niall's nap as well as James's and Graham's later in the show. But we'll start off with five fantastic races at Ascot, in chronological order, starting with 135, it's the Sodexo Reynoldstown Novices Chase. Niall, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, so we've joined favourites here in Mr. Malarkey, who's 5-2, along with Topville Ben, who's also 5-2. Yaltari is 3-1, Naim McGinty is 4-1, and the outsider is Coupe de Pinceau, he's 8-1.
James, kick us off with a bumper postcast with a winner.
The winner will be Mr. Malarkey, Bruce, I think. I prefer him to Topville Ben with this ground drying out a bit, this lovely warm weather we're having at the moment.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
It's lovely, yeah. And he's been progressive over fences this year. He's only a six-year-old, so plenty of improvement to come, I would say, particularly for one of Colin Tizard's. And good form right-handed when he was a youngster at Kempton. He won as a four-year-old, beating some decent horses there. So I think he'll like this course too.
Okay. Graham, what's your first tip?
I thought it was a horrible little race, to be honest, really trappy, and I could make a strong case for four out of five runners. The only one that I didn't fancy was Coup de Pinceau, so going back it now, probably. But I fell down on Now Beginty. I thought when he ran at Utoxeter two starts ago, he jumped a little bit to the right. He was well beaten, but he ran really well in second, and then last time out at Chepstow, he again, in the straight, just showed a little bit of a tendency to jump out to his right. And I just wonder if he might be suited by this switch to a right-handed course. He's going forward nicely. And Stuart Edmonds, I think he's a bit underrated, you know, by the market. I mean, he had that nice winner a couple of weeks ago, Classic Ben, that was heavily punted. And he trains Now McGinty. So that's the one I like, but I'm not... It's a horrible little race.
You're not playing your joker on this race, are you?
No, so like of all the great races all weekend, I mean, you have to start off with this one, the worst race from a punting perspective.
OK, well, it'll get better, won't it? Good. Now, you told me earlier, G-Rod, that you fancy opposing a lot of the Saturday favourites, don't you?
Yeah, I'm
OK, so stand by to see what G-Rod's going to come up with. Niall, what are you coming up with for the Reynoldstown?
Yeah, I have similar thoughts to Graham in that I don't think it's the greatest race. Topville Ben, I don't really believe his rating. It's like 150 or something like that. I just think he's been winning bad races. The one I've come down on as well is Naim McGinty for Stuart Edmonds, who I was really impressed with his jumping last time at Chepstow. And as Graham said, I think he'll actually be suited by going this way around. Now, he was a decent hurdler last season, winning a few handicaps before running into Mr. Big Shot at Aintree. But yeah, he always looked one that would improve for fences. Like I said, it's not the greatest race, and I think he's capable of going very close here.
Okay, let's move on to the 210. It's the Celt Bray Swinley Chase. Some old favourites here, Black Courtin with Bryony Frost and the lovely Coney Gree. Let's see where they figure in the betting.
Yeah, so Rakers Island is our 11-4 favourite. Black Courtin is 7-2 second favourite. Coney Gree is 9-2. Regal Encore 6-1. Art Mares 6-1. Calypto 8-1. Creevy Hill 10-1. And Smooth Stepper is 20-1.
Let's see if G-Rod is more enthusiastic about this contest.
Yeah, I really like this race. Yeah, easy. There's only two horses can win it. Rakers Island, I think, will almost certainly win. It's the only improving horse in the race. The rest of them are all exposed, generally out of form. I'm impressed with the way this one goes through its races, jumps really well, wildly impressive a couple of starts ago at Wincanton. And last time out, Newbury was bang there at the last. An almost unseated rider went in front, still managed to sort of stay in front until the last 120 odd yards when it was absolutely swamped and ended up finishing fourth. Without the mistake, I think he probably would have won. He's only gone up £3, which shouldn't be a problem considering I think he's only had three runs over fences. And I just think he's got far too much improvement in him. But of course, with horse racing, you never quite know. I mean, if he doesn't turn up on his best form, or the only other horse that can win is Art Moresque, who for me definitely wants this trip. I know that he's done most of his winning over shorter, but a couple of starts ago he ran really well over course and distance. He was staying on nicely. He was just nailed towards the line by Traffic Flu, but he kept the distance between him and the third. If Rakers Island ain't on his game, then Art Moresque could win. But I can't have anything else in this race. I think it's a two-horse race. Rakers Island wins and Art Moresque chase it home.
Easy. Niall, do we need to continue after G Rod's succinct summarisation of the race?
Yeah, I think we do. I'm really keen on Black Courtin' here. Yeah, Paul Nicholls tends to dominate these races, and I just think this looks an ideal opportunity. As Graham said, it does lack a bit of depth, but yeah, he's the one I came down on. His record on ground with good in the description is phenomenal. I think he's only been out of the first three once in 18 starts, and that was in a competitive 16 runner handicap hurdle at Sandown a few years ago. He's run two really solid races this year, one of them chasing home definitely red when everything went wrong. I think Bryony nearly fell off him at one point, and then top notch last time over a trip that was too short. In between, he disappointed in the Hennessy, but that ground was way too soft for him in my opinion, and he never really travelled. He seems to have everything in his favour here, and to me he definitely looks capable of defying this mark. He has course form from last year, from when he hammered Miss Parfois over course and distance, so he'd have no excuse in that regard here. I really can't see how he doesn't go close here.
I've got a big problem with Black Courtin'.
What is it?
He's the solid option. You know, he's very reliable, he runs really well, you know, always going to be there, always going to give his running, but he's right at the top of the weights. Surely he finds one or two too good, no?
It's just the depth, the strength and depth of this race. I don't think it's very strong at all, personally. But
right, well, let's see what James thinks.
Well, I think the old boy could do it, Bruce. Can't agree. I think he's run two good races this season. Dropped a pound since the beginning of the season. He's carrying a little bit less weight than he would in an open handicap, a couple of pounds less. The thing that got me really interested about him, if you look at the last 4 or 5 years of this race, a lot of them have been won by older horses, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds. It's not really a race that seems to go to a young improver. Personally, I don't think that there are that many young improvers in there anyway. I think a lot of them are exposed, Rikers Island possibly. But you're talking about a former Gold Cup winner who's still showing some form. You know, yes, he was going to be well beaten in the King George last time, but he probably went too fast in that anyway against horses. Far better than any of these, so there might not be a dry eye in the house by the end of the afternoon.
Okay, well, so the lads are all very sweet on this race, sadly all different horses, so make of that what you will. Let's move on to the 2:45, it's the Betfair Denman Chase. Just the four runners. This may be one of the first races where G-Rod starts his tactic of taking on the Favs, but let's find out just how short Clan des Oboes is. Niall?
Yeah, so Clan des Oboes are 2-5 favourite. Terraford is 5-2. Thomas Patrick is 12-1. And Ballyhill is 33-1.
And we're still with you, Niall?
Yeah, he should be winning this Clan des Oboes, but he's definitely not a bet at 2-5. For me, you just can't go too far wrong. Just back in Terraford against him at the 5-2. He's getting the £3. And the fact Paul Nicholls said Clan des Oboes might just need this a small bit after a break, I'm not sure Terraford will have that much to find on the day. If it was getting any bigger than the 5-2, I'd probably have a decent bet on him. But yeah, it wouldn't be one to be getting too heavily involved in, I suppose.
James, what's your view?
I think Clan des Oboes should win this. He's giving weight away all round. But if he wants to be a real credible Gold Cup contender, he should be winning this. The King George wasn't the best running of the King George I've seen, I have to say. But I don't think this race is anything special. And you're talking about a young improving horse who jumps really well. And I would expect him to step up a bit in that Kempton run.
Do you think he can win the Gold Cup, James?
No, I don't. I would think there'd be better horses than him in the Gold Cup. He doesn't have a great record at Cheltenham anyway, let's be honest, and nothing special. Paul Nicholls used to farm this race, and I think he's got another good one here, so it's difficult to look beyond him.
Do you agree, G-Rod?
No, I mean, it's an absolute terrible price, isn't it? 2-5 on Clan d'Azoba. I mean, it won possibly the worst King George that I've ever seen in my life. I'll just go for it now. I mean, he beat Thistlecrack, who we know is well past his best. Native River doesn't like the track there. Politolo didn't stay. I mean, Bristol Name didn't get round. Might Bite was well below form. Waiting Patiently was brought down. I mean, geez.
There's no way that's the worst King George
field
you've ever seen.
Terrible, terrible race.
The previous year was worse.
No, the race just completely fell apart.
Double Shuffle nearly won.
The race completely fell apart. I mean, I'm just reading our spotlight. Jolt of Improvement to win that. I don't think he improved at all. I just think the race completely fell apart around him. I mean, the previous start when he was at Haydock, he was well beaten. And, you know, again, I think Thistlecrack beat him, didn't he? Native River, they were all in front of him. Absolutely
useless animals.
Terrible.
Thistlecrack and Native River. What have they ever done?
what is the opposition that's so special against
terrible race? Absolutely terrible race. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, the opposition is pretty poor as well. You know, which is a bit of a downer. But I'm not sure that Clan d'Azoba really stays either. Okay. I mean, to my eye, he travels really well, and then you don't find a heck of a lot. And I mean, we all know Kempston's a flat track where non-stayers get home. If he don't really stay 3 miles, he ain't going to get away with it here, because Ascot's got a really stiff uphill finish. It's uphill all the way from Swindy Bottom.
Who tip him?
There's serious doubts about him at that price. The other two, Thomas Patrick and Ballyhill, are useless. They ain't going to win it. So, you know, you can only back Terrafour, because Terrafour has got the potential to improve. Maybe he needed that run, first run back after November at Cheltenham. You know, he's got the potential to come on for that. He does obviously need to beat Clan d'Azoba, but at the prices, I mean, Clan d'Azoba is just one fantastic lay.
That's one of the most miserable assessments of a horse race I've ever heard in my life, Gerald. This is sport. This is people tuning in for a bit of excitement, looking at the TV racing. You've brought the mood down here.
It's a rubbish price. I couldn't believe it when I saw the price. Okay. I was expecting to see a lot bigger.
Let's move on, shall we, to the 3:20. It's the Betfair Hurdle. Should have been run last week. Is going to be run tomorrow. And we've got Al Dancer at the head of the market, Niall.
We do, yeah. We're paying 5 place in this race for 14 runners, so a decent offer. Yeah, Al Dancer is our 11-4 favourite. Getaway Trump is 3-1. Lisp is 8-1. Montez Avaloir is 8-1. Did They Leave You Out 2 is 8-1. Sands of 14-1 and 16-1 Bear.
James, is the horse you're going to tip the same horse you would have tipped last Saturday?
Yes, yep.
And its name is?
Its name is Al Dancer.
Boring.
Boring, but obvious. I think he's the obvious contender in this. I know all the shrewdies have jumped on at fancy prices and stuff, but it's difficult to look beyond him, Bruce. I think he really won very impressively last time at Cheltenham, beating some good horses in a good time. He's a serious Supreme Novices contender after that. And, you know, if he's to be a serious Supreme Novices contender, I think he's got to be winning this of 141. I don't think there's anything in there that's really that scary. Did They Leave You Out too? Possibly. Could go well back at Ascot. But other than him, I don't think it's the greatest bet for hurdle in the world, and Al Dancer is primed for this.
We had Sam Twiston Davis up all day in the office yesterday. Were you in yesterday?
I wasn't in, no.
He did a Q&A and he was very, very sweet on Al Dancer. G-Rod, what do you fancy?
Yeah, I know that Sam really likes those, doesn't he? Well, I've got to declare an interest, so I've lumped on El Dancer for the Supreme already. So I'm kind of hopeful from an anti-post perspective that El Dancer will win. But, you know, I'm not really one to tip 5-2 to win this race. He can be a bit fresh and a bit free. That'd be a bit of a concern for me. He's had 60-odd days off. You know, if he's going to be a bit buzzy, it could be here. And as I've already said, it's a really stiff course at Ascot. If anything's going to find him out, it might well be that, although I think the ground's coming in his favour. I like Tar Mist, a big price for Gary Moore. This horse has always had ability, but it's taken a long time to get there. And
like you.
I was waiting for that. And last two runs at Leicester and Newbury it was, on good grounds, very impressive. Seems to have finally put it all together. Gary Moore won this 2014, I think it was, with Violet Dancer, and he's in flying form at the moment. He's had a couple of winners the last couple of days. I just thought that at the prices, you know, our Mist was the one. But, you know, Getaway Trump and El Dancer could be different gravy, but at the prices, our Mist.
OK, what do you reckon, Niall?
Yeah, I was looking for some value in this race, but just whatever way I looked at it, I just kept coming down on Getaway Trump. He's just a horse I really like. Yeah, I think that shallow form is the strongest novice form on offer, and the way he went through that race would make him look really well handicapped of 142 to me. He never really settled properly in that slowly run race, so the drop to 2 miles and fast pace could really bring out the best in him. He's an electric jumper of a hurdle, which will really stand him in this. I think I've barely seen him break stride jumping hurdles in his last few runs. If the race had been run last week at Newbury on soft ground like it was meant to be, I would have been putting up Nordic combined each way in a first-time visor. He's just one I think would be really suited by handicaps, and his run behind Rat Hill in particular would make him look well treated of 133. I still think he's worth a saver at the 25-1 that's around here. On Al Dancer, he's actually not one I'm mad on personally. I don't think there was any depth at all in that Cheltenham race he won. Now, I know he won it very easily, but he's gone up £13 into a much stronger race, so I couldn't back him at the 11-4. So yeah, I'll stick with Getaway Trump with a small each way bet and Nordic combined with the extra places.
Okay, bringing down the curtain on the TV card at Ascot is the 3.55. It's the Betfair Ascot Chase, 2 miles, 5 furlongs. Really, really looking forward to this one. 6 runners, all good ones. Niall, what's the latest?
Yeah, so we're money back all losers if Wait Impatiently wins this race. So yeah, Wait Impatiently, he's our 7-4 favourite. Surname is 3-1. Politologue is 3-1. Fox Norton, 13-2. ASO, 12-1. And Charabel is also 12-1.
What a race, G-Rod. Excited?
Yeah, yeah, it's a great race, yeah.
Sound it.
Yeah.
You've got to be excited by this race, surely.
I don't know, just checking. I'm checking my mobile and I'm waiting post. He's got no price by him. Don't tell me.
7-4, we've just heard from Niall, yeah.
He's definitely running, is he?
Yes, he is definitely running.
Well, we don't see much of him, do we? You know, I mean, waiting patiently, I mean, geez.
I'm waiting patiently for you to start talking about this race. Come on, man.
The horse. I mean, this is a great advert, isn't it, for why you should run your horses when they're right. I mean, Waiting Patiently absolutely bolted up in this last year, looked like the second coming, and then, you know, it's like, oh, I don't really want to run at Cheltenham, you know, I don't really think that Cheltenham suits him, so they decide they're not going to even prepare it for Cheltenham, and then I think Shattered Love was it, or I can't remember what ran away with that race, but I think he would have won it. And then, so they miss Cheltenham and go, oh, we're going to go to Aintree, and then he gets injured, you know, and so then they don't end up running for the rest of the season. Then they go, oh, we're going to train him for the King George. So we don't see him again forever. And he turns up, the King George gets brought down after 4 fences. And then you've only seen him once in the last, you know, year. And you go, you know, this horse is 8-year-old. We've seen him 10 times. It's just, you know, I mean, can you really back a horse at 7-4 that we've seen once in the last year, that hasn't had a huge problem, and just last time out was brought down? Oh, I don't get it. I mean, if that horse was mine, I would have had him out running a lot more than that, but there you go, he ain't mine, so it's up to them. I mean, obviously, if he turns up in last season's form, we'll probably win, but I mean, 7-4, an horse that we never runs, we hardly ever see run, no thank you. So that's that. Surname, I mean, that was wildly impressive last time out at Ascot, but just a smelly performance, you know, when you go, oh, there's something weird about that race. Oh, it's a little bit smelly, you know. It's just like, I think it was rated like 150 odd going in, and it got bumped up £15 or something ridiculous because it won by 20 odd lengths, you know, but there's just something smelly about it. You just went, that run is just miles better than anything he's ever shown before. And again, it might be one of those races where it just fell apart. So can't have Surname, Politologue, well, the solid option. So he's going to run well and not win. So there's only 2 horses in the race that you can possibly think about backing. Fox Norton, but I mean, again, he's one that we ain't seen at his best for ages. I mean, he was brilliant a couple of years ago, but not for me. So the bet is ASO. For Venetia Williams. Now, this is a massive improver this season. He's gone through the races really well, and I think he ran to an RPR 166 last time. He'll need to improve massively on that. But the one thing we do know about ASO here is he is improving and he is thriving, and he comes into the race in
he's
top
alive now,
form.
Hasn't he? Loving it now,
you know, which is as I've already said, you know, there's not many of these that are coming into this race in top form or with form behind them. The one thing we do know about ASO is that he is progressing really well. He is in really top form. And I'm surprised he's such a big price. I mean, he is the big potential improver in the race, and he's double figure odds. I mean, ASO for me, has got a massive chance. It's just a shame that there isn't eight runners, because, I mean, I think he'll definitely be in the three.
Okay, fair enough. What about Charbel?
Well, yeah, I mean, disappointing also, isn't it? Do you remember a couple of years ago when it was travelling and everyone said, oh, it might have beaten Altior?
Yeah, I said that. Well, I was on at 50s. All right, you're not having him. Right then, after that rather unique assessment of a horse race, great stuff, G-Rod. Niall, what are your views?
Yeah, he's cleared nearly everything up there. I just love waiting patiently. He's actually my favourite horse in training to watch at the moment, even though we haven't seen much of
that.
He said in training, he likes him in training.
I was just about to finish.
Every time you get to see him.
I was just about to say it's annoying we don't get to see more of him. I'm not keen on Politologue myself at all. I've just never really taken him. I thought he was disappointing at Kempton. As Graham said, Cernan was ridiculously impressed with Ascot, but I don't know if you can just take that literally on the balance of his form. Yeah, I wouldn't really trust. The only thing was they did remove the hood, and I think that just lit him up a bit, and maybe that improved him. But yeah, I wouldn't really trust it. Waiting Patiently has the form in the book. He likes the track, having won this race last year. And he's just one of the most efficient jumpers in training. He just seems to get from A to B really quickly. I think Fox Norton could be the danger. He ran well in his reappearance behind Altior last time, and this could be his best trip. But yeah, I'll stick with Waiting Patiently and might play with Fox Norton in the without market.
James, you've been waiting patiently. Tell us what you think.
Harry, getting for your G-Rod's analysis. I'll go for the solid option, as G-Rod calls him. I'll go for Politologue. He's more than solid going right-handed. He's won 7 of his 8 starts going this way round. Admittedly, that one defeat was at Kempton last time in the King George, but that was over 3 miles. I mean, things just didn't go right for him there. Class act on his day. He was very impressive, I thought. First time out at Ascot this season. My one concern, he can boil over before the race, so this mild weather isn't ideal for him. It's nice for people who want to get out in their garden, but not for Politologue. But with the yard in great form, I think, the solid option is the best choice.
Okay, that was Ascot. Let's do Haydock and Wincanton next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. We've done Ascot. Let's do Haydock next. The 155 is the William Hill Rendlesham Hurdle, 3.5 miles a furlong. And we've got the return of an old favourite here, Niall.
Yeah, Yanworth is our 4-5 favourite. Klein is 100-30. Kilcooley is 7-1. Donna's Diamond, 10-1. Shades of Midnight, 10-1. Petticoat Tales, 14. And Man of Plenty is 33-1.
I've got to say, an old favourite, Yanworth. I used to favour laying him, and it was quite good. What do you think he'll do here, Niall?
This is just such a weak race. I just think he's miles better than these for all. I don't particularly like the horse. I'm not sure the ground is ideal for Klein, and I've never been fully convinced by him at the trip. Kilcooley is off a massive absence. Donna's Diamond won this race last year, though that was on different ground. I don't think it was a strong race at all. Yanworth, like, when you really break down his form, it stacks up nicely in the context of this, and I just think he'll win.
Do you think he'll win, James?
I wouldn't be backing him at 5-4 on. I mean, we haven't seen him since March, a long time, so I think he'll definitely come on for the run. I know he's a class horse, but I don't think we'll be seeing him at his best on Saturday. Having said that, there isn't really that much in there that you get excited about in terms of the opposition that he's up against. I guess at the prices, last year's winner, Donna's Diamond. I know he's having to give weight away all round, but if you want to back him anywhere, it's got to be Haydock. I think 3 of his top 5 Racing Post ratings have come at Haydock, all 3 times he's run there. He was very, very solid all through last season. I think he's been chasing this term and he hasn't enjoyed it as much. So return to hurdles will hopefully see him go well at an each way price.
Okay, G-Rod, you were getting stuck in some of these favourites and wanting to oppose them at Ascot. Are you going to do the same here?
No, I'm with Niall. I think that Yanworth's different class to this. I mean, just go down through the horses and you look at the names and Yanworth stands out like a sore thumb because the rest of them just aren't in the same class as him. Like Niall, I'm not convinced by Klein at the trip. I would be really interested in Kilcooley if he could be bounce back to his best form. But I mean, we're going back 2015. It's now 2019. I mean, and he's only his first run for Nicky Richards of huge absence. I mean, yeah, if Yanworth is anywhere near his best, and even if he isn't at his best, I still think he'll win.
Okay, let's look at the other ITV4 race at Haydock now. It's the 3.35. It's the William Hill Grand National Trial, 3.5 miles. What's it going at Haydock? Is it going to be grueling or
sticky?
Sticky.
I think, I think.
Okay, right then. So the trip will take a lot of getting, and what's the latest betting, Niall?
So Ramses the Tellias are 11-2 favourites. Robinsford is 6-1. Impulsive Star is 13-2. Yala Enki 8-1. Royal Vacation 10-1. Bally Optic 11-1. Fulian Rouge 11-1. And 12-1 Bear.
Some familiar old names slogging it round at Haydock. Who's going to cross the line in front, James?
I think by far the most interesting runner is this, is the Irish Raider, Our Little Luck. He's a novice. I mean, he only won his first chase last time out at Navan. But he's got some good form. The handicap has given him the same rating of 135 that he had when he ran third at Aintree on Grand National there, the hurdles last term. That sort of form, if he can repeat that over fences here, would give him a real good chance. I think he's too big a price. I think, you know, he's 20-1 in places. Admittedly, we're unsure if he's going to stay. That is an if. But he's got a nice lightweight, so that will help. And he does jump well.
20-1 stunner from James. G-Rod, who do you like in the Grand National trial?
I fancy Robbins Firth for Colin Tizard. I always go back, I think it was January 2015. This horse ran in a novice hurdle at Cheltenham. And Colin Tizard had two runners in the race. Robbins Firth was sent off the stable first string at 7-1. And the stable second string was Thistlecrack, who went off at 25-1.
Wow.
Robbins Firth finished, I think, three places in front of Thistlecrack at that point. So at that stage of their career, I suspect that Tizard must have thought that Robbins Firth was the better of the two. The problem is, of course, since then, Thistlecrack's gone on and improved massively and win loads of grade ones, and Robbins Firth's gone on to have loads of problems, not really fulfilling his potential. And injuries have curtailed a sort of short career, really. But he is lightly raced as a result. And he was a real eye-catcher on his return from a long absence last time at the course, when he was in all sorts of bother in the turn for home, and flew home to finish second to Wakanda. I think it was in the Peter Marsh or Tommy Mittle or one of those races.
Tommy Whittle.
Yeah. The Tommy Mittle there. One of those races they have there that used to be Gold Cup horses running that we don't get those types anymore. And that was a real eye-catching run. And straight after the race, I thought this horse could win a Grand National. So they're going to the Grand National trial. And of course, I don't think it matters if it wins it, does it? Because the weights are out now, aren't they?
They certainly are, yeah.
So if he wins it, it don't matter, does it? So, you know, there's no downside to getting hit with a mark here. So I think I fancy Robbins Firth quite strongly.
Okay. Who do you fancy, Niall?
Yeah, I'm very keen on Bally Optic here, who I actually think, if this race goes the way I think it will be, I think he could end up being Grand National favourite after this. He ran okay in the Welsh National, beating a fairway in sixth, though carrying top weight and bottomless ground isn't what's going to bring out the best. And now, I know we were talking about the ground earlier on. I think by tomorrow this is just going to be good to soft. It's about 13, 14 degrees around Haydock. Prior to that run in the Welsh National, he was just starting to travel like the winner in the Beecher when falling at the tent, having really begun to take the defences after a slow start. If you go back to last year in the Scottish National, he made up a massive amount of ground after the third last, just failing to chase down Joe Farrell, who I thought was well handicapped that day, and he's off just £6 higher here. The ground, as I said, should be ideal for him tomorrow at Haydock, as I said, good to soft. And yeah, he's just a class angle in the race for me too. Off the opposition, Yala Enki, I didn't think would like the ground. Ramses the Telly wants it softer as well. Royal Vacation and Wakanda have nothing in hand. And Robinsford went up a few pounds for running second in that race behind Wakanda. And I think he's best fresh personally as well. Impulsive Star and Fulian Rouge look the main dangers. But yeah, I just prefer Bally Optic at the prices. I think it'll go very close.
Let's nip down to Wincanton. The 145 is the first of their two ITV4 races. It's the Betway Heed Your Hunch Handicap Chase. Just the five runners, just short of 2 miles. What's the latest from Niall?
So Gino Trail is our 9-4 favourite. Magic Saint is 3-1. Big Martyr, 3-1. Admiral Secret, 9-2. And Azuri is 10-1.
Who wins it, G-Rod?
Yeah, I like this race. Because we've got a solid option as favourite. As you know, I always like to take them on. Gino Trail ran really well at Sandown last time. Shorter run well, but probably find one too good. Only two horses can win it for me. Magic Saint of Paul Nichols and Admiral's Secret for Victor Dartnell. It's between those two. At the prices, I would have to back Admiral's Secret. Really, really, really impressive when winning at the course and distance 2 runs ago. Was cruising all over them, all the way up the straight. Couldn't have won any easier. And the second and third have both come out and won since. The form's strong. The problem is, of course, that he came out next time, refused to race. So if you do back Admiral's Secret, then you're going to be having a bit of a sweat on at the start, hoping that he jumps off. So if he doesn't jump off, or you don't fancy taking the risk, I suspect that you might want to back Magic Saint. But I think Admiral's Secret's the better bet.
And Niall, what's your fancy?
Yeah, similar to Graham, Admiral Seek would look very interesting here. He did refuse to race last time, which is a worry. But prior to that, as Graham said, he won a good race on Boxing Day that's worked out really well with plenty in hand. The race tomorrow, yeah, there's not much in it. I think he's around the 9-2 shot. He'd look a bet to me.
You going to go for the solid option, James?
It's a bit solid, I suppose. Big Marcher. He tends to run his race all the time, doesn't he? So yeah, G-Rod wouldn't like that one. But he does jump well. That's important at Wincanton. I always think it takes some jumping around there. He hasn't been at his best this season, but the key to him, I think, is he's best fresh. Four of his six wins have come after gaps of 51 days or more. I think he hasn't run for 59 days, two-month break. So I would narrowly prefer him in a race where nothing much sticks out.
OK, let's move on to the 3 o'clock. It's the Betway Kingwell Hurdle, a grade two over 2 miles. And Niall, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
So So Royale is our 13-8 favourite. Vision de Flow is 5-2. Grand Sancy 9-2. Unison 6-1. And Jolly's Cracked It is 8-1.
Niall, we've got to... So Royale's got a bit to prove, hasn't he, after a poor run last time. Do you think he'll do it?
I'm actually just going to side with Vision de Flow here, who I thought ran very well behind Bouver Dare on his first run after a wind-up. This just looks a really good opportunity. I like So Royale, but I don't particularly like chasers reverting back to hurdles. It just tends to suggest that something may not be quite right at home. Vision de Flow, he hasn't really been finishing out his races, but I'm hoping on second run after a wind-up he might do so here. And yeah, he's the bet for me.
Who's the bet for you, James?
I'd narrowly prefer So Royale over Vision de Flow because he just tends to go well fresh, and we haven't seen him since before Christmas. So most of his wins have come after a gap. Very interested to see how Vision de Flow runs because he kept Bouver Dare, honest, I thought, right to the line at Sandown. So I'm going to be interested to see how he goes. I'm not convinced about Bouver Dare for the champion, I have to say.
Aren't you? No, I'd be going Apples Jade at this stage, wouldn't you? Or would you go something else?
I've backed Apples Jade. So.
Yeah. Who do you fancy for the champion hurdle, G-Rod?
For me, it's ground dependent.
Okay.
I have a sort of weird theory on it that I don't think many people agree with. I think that Bouver Dare is a mudlark who's at his absolute best when it's really, really testing, you know, and I think he needs it like that, like when we saw at Newcastle. So if it came up really, really testing, I'll be on board with Bouver Dare, but on quicker ground, which it probably will be, Apples Jade would be the one.
Okay.
Anyway, back to this race. I didn't fancy Vision de Flow. I thought it was a tools race between So Royale, who's absolutely different class to this lot, but of course is reverting back from fences, which is always a little bit of a worry. Not so much, and I don't think everything's right. Probably the reason that they've gone back is they're looking for a prep run, maybe, for the champion chase. I expect you'll see him back over fences at Cheltenham. But nevertheless, that is a nagging doubt because you just don't know how they're going to jump. You know, when they come back from fences, sometimes they'll be a bit slower over the hurdles. So I would rather back Grand Sancy, the novice for Paul Nicholls. Obviously needs to improve to get competitive with the two above him in the market, but it's definitely got the scope to do so. Ran really well behind Elixir Donuts in the Tolworth last time at Sandown, and I think he's got the scope to make the jump up into this grade.
Okay, right then, we've done all the GB action. We've got one more TV race from ITV to go, and we'll do that next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Bruce Millington, James Hill, Graham Rodway and Paddy Powers, Niall O'Reilly. And we're going to look to a little bonus race that ITV wedged in at 2:30. It's the Red Mills Chase at Garran Park. We were hoping to see Gold Cup favourite Presenting Percy, but he was not declared. We got 4 really interesting runners. Niall, how do we bet?
So Monoly is our 10-11 favourite now. Kalulta Vic is 5-2. Annabelle Fly is 4-1. And Ed Wolf is 10-1.
G-Rod, you can go first.
Not a race I had a strong opinion on. Once Presenting Percy come out, because I thought that was the lay of the weekend if that had lined up. But now it doesn't. Monoly's a short price, but I'm not convinced by Monoly. Be a bit weak in the finish, this horse. You know, travels really well, but I don't know. Doesn't always seem to find as much as I hope he's going to. I'd probably bet Kilol to Vic, I suppose.
Okay.
But he's been another one, hasn't he, that like could have been anything, could have been top class. And sadly, I think his career got curtailed a little bit with injury.
He had that bad injury when he slid to the turf, didn't he?
That's right, yeah, it was a shame. But
ripped his back.
Yeah, no, I'd be taking on Monoli and Kolarovic looks the one.
Okay, Niall, what's your strategy going to be?
Yeah, before Present and Percy came out, I would have been putting up Monoli to beat him. Now, I know what Graham's saying, he does look a weak finisher, but that just tends to be over 3 mile. I think this 2 mile 4 trip is ideal for him. And Kolarovic, I wouldn't be sure about his jumping. Annabelle Fly probably needs further, and Ed Wolf needs softer ground and further. So it's just by default, I think he'll win.
And James.
I think this is a great opportunity for Monoli. Really like this source, one of my favourites. Good jumper, class act on his day. And with no Presenting Percy around, I don't think there's anything in here that should really trouble him over 2.5 miles. There's going to be a clamour for him going for the Ryanair if he wins this. I hope connections stick with the plan of the Gold Cup, because I think he's just been unlucky in his 2 tries at Cheltenham over 3 miles. He's come up against 2 really good horses in Penhill and Presenting Percy. I think he deserved to take his chance in the big one.
What are our thoughts on the big one now with Presenting Percy missing this? We've seen him once over hurdles. Is time running out, or is this a master plan? What do you think, James?
Hard to see it being a master plan. I mean, Native River won the Gold Cup, didn't he, after one run last season? I hope that doesn't become the norm, you know, like the Gold Cup winner runs as little as possible. That's not what we want to see. It doesn't. You're not confident about his chances when you see a horse, you know, you expect him to run 1 week and he doesn't run. He keeps getting put back.
Who's your fancy at this stage, James?
Well, I hope Monoli wins this and then goes on to run a really big race in the Gold Cup. I think he's a big price in the betting, Monoli.
G-Rod, what's your Gold Cup fancy at this juncture?
I mean, I think Presenting Percy's a machine on his day, you know. I think if he turns up in his best, he'll win. But I'll back Kenboy. I was impressed with him when he won at Leopardstown. I know all the time freaks have been going on about the fact that, you know, it's a slowly run race or whatever, and he had his own way. Yeah, he did. But, I mean, you know, he couldn't have done it. He absolutely bolted up, and he's massively rapidly improving also. I've backed Kenboy.
And who have you backed, Niall, or who would you back?
I've had a few quid each way on Album Photo. I just think he'd be really suited by this test. He stays really well, he jumps well. He probably would have been second in the RSA last year had he stood up, so it'd be him for me.
Have you agreed on anything yet today, you lot? Right then, let's get all the rest of these Saturday tips. We've got the rest of the Ascot card, Haydock, Wincanton, Garran, and there's also Lingfield and Kempton for the all-weather fans. James, what have you got for us?
I've got Black Lion, Bruce. That's in the Per Temps qualifier. Just having a look at the time of the race. I think that's about 3:05. He ran much better, I thought, at Warwick last time, Black Lion. I think she finished about eighth. And with the £7 claimer, Jordan Naylor, taking some weight off this time, I think he's effectively £12 lower. So that's quite a drop for one run. I would expect a better performance than he put up at Warwick, and if that's the case, he'll go very close.
That's the 2:55 at Haydock.
10 minutes.
Is that your only one?
That's my only one there, yeah.
G-Rod, with trepidation, what is your roundup consist of?
It's really difficult because... Because
not promising start. Go on.
I'm not sure whether to nap the one that I'm going to tip in the last.
I don't even understand what that means.
Because if I nap it, I won't have to talk about it now, will I?
Okay, so you're going to nap it? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Okay, right, shut up. Niall, what have you got in your roundup?
I've still got one other.
Oh, go on.
Give me some.
All those rehearsals have paid off. I tell you what, I'm going to go to Niall for his roundup and then.
Then come back, yeah.
Then come back to exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Go on, mate.
So I have 3. The 1 o'clock Ascot, Ty Call, was second to a really well handicapped horse in Tedham last time. He travelled really well through the race. It was very eye catching. He just got outstayed late on. He drops back in trip here to 2 mile 3, which looks to suit ideally. I think he definitely has a few pounds in hand. In the 2:55 Haydock down the highway is extremely interesting here. He was impressive at Lingfield on his debut before disappointing around Sandown, where he didn't look to be suited by going right-handed. He ran much better last time in a hot novice at Chepstow, when looking like he'd relish to step up to 3 miles, which he gets here. He's off 133, which is a fair mark, and if he wins here, I think he'd have a good chance in the per temps at the festival. And then in the 3:05 Garran, sure, what's the rush for Donal Hassett, has run into 2 really well handicapped horses of late, and this looks a much easier opportunity to drop back to a more suitable trip Paul Tanner takes the ride, and he's off 10 stone 3, and I think he'll go very close.
All the time you've been talking, Giroud's been scrolling up and down like a lost lamb on his phone. Have you found the race, Giroud?
Yeah, 4:30 Ascot, Worthy Farm for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. Won quite nicely at Taunton, was it?
I don't know.
1 second, let me have a look.
Don't worry, we'll assume it was Taunton.
Yeah, it was Taunton, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and went off favourite for a quite hot handicap last time out at Cheltenham. Was disappointing, but I think he's worth another chance. I was quite impressed with him at Taunton, and I got a really good one to come on the nap.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. What happens at Worthy Farm, G-Rod, do you know?
Is that the Glastonbury?
It is, well done. Yeah.
I've never been, have you?
No, I don't fancy it.
Oh, I want to go.
Our former colleague Robin Gibson said, famously, I love music and I love fields, but I don't like combining the two. And I go along with that. He was Scottish. Right then, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
I'm going to save yours till last, G-Rod, because you've whetted my appetite by saying you really fancy it. James, what's your nap?
Not too exciting, but it's got to be Al Dancer in the Betfair Hurdle at 3:20.
Okay, at Ascot. And Niall, what's your nap?
3:35 Haydock, Ballyoptic.
Ballyoptic. Little drum roll. Could be quite a long drum roll because he's still scrolling. What is it, G-Rod?
There's a 9-race card at Ascot, right? And loads of people are probably going to bugger off before the last, the Mayor's Hurdle.
Particularly with the train problems.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. It's, no direct trains, if you
go. No, go on. The suspense is killing me.
The Mayor's Bumper, the 5 o'clock that ends the card. Now, last year, I was in this studio and put up a horse of Susie Smith's called Rosie World that was 33-1 initially, and it was punted into, like it could not be beaten, into 13-2, and it travelled like a dream the whole way around, looked for sure it was going to win, and then just got narrowly beaten.
I remember it was awful, wasn't it?
It was absolutely agonising. And ever since then, I've been thinking, oh, I bet Susie Smith's got one for that Mayor's Bumper next year, because she also trained the second in 2017. Yeah. So she's trained the second in this bumper, the 5 o'clock at Ascot, for the last 2 years, and agonisingly last season missed out on landing a huge gamble with Rosie World. So this year, she's had one entry from the entry stage when I looked on Monday, Strike the Flint, who is a sister to Rosie World.
Wow.
Who is the horse that I tipped last year and was narrowly beaten. She is going to be desperate to get the monkey off her back in this race, yeah. Surely, after 2 seconds in the last 2 years. Strike the Flint in the bumper, 5 o'clock at Ascot.
Brilliant. I wonder what price that will be. What are we hoping for? 8-1. You've already gone.
How many messes now?
Well, I bet it's not 33.
Well, you never know, do you? Can you please not tell whoever's pricing up the bumper about that superb sus? That was absolutely brilliant. Right then, that Saturday, what an amazing day. Really looking forward to that. Hopefully your Saturday bets will go well and you've got a little bit of punting money left in the bank for 3 meetings on Sunday. We've got Huntingdon and Market Raisin, and then in Ireland at Navan, we've got 2 really interesting races. The Grand National winner runs. Tiger Roll is in action over hurdles. And then a horse that I've got my eye on, Champagne Classic, I think might win a decent race at the festival, is running as well. So, Niall, what have you got for us at Navan?
Yeah, so the 220 Navan, the Boyne Hurdle, off you go. She'll just be winning this for me. And he could really throw himself into the Stairs Hurdle picture if he does. He looks like he's been crying out for a step up and trip. And the manner of his victory last time at Leopardstown would suggest he's definitely up to win a race like this. It's not a strong race. There's a load of horses like Bacchuson and Cockan Man that may be better chasers in time. It just looks a really good opportunity. The 3:25 Navan, the horse you were just talking about there, Champagne Classic, he travelled really well in his return at Nace recently. And if he's to come on for that at all, then yeah, he could be a certainty here. As you said, he could be sneaky each way of value for something like the JLT or RSA once they decide on the target. And that's it for Nav, and I have one more for Market Raisin.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, the 2:45, I think I have a certainty here. Viva.
Certainty?
Yeah, definitely. Viva Vittoria. And now it went into my tracker the last day after a very eye-catching run behind the useful yellow dockets of Nicky Henderson's, where she was never really put into the race by Aidan Coleman. I found it interesting that she went off 5-2 favourite after a gamble on her debut in a bumper before running really well in a race that's actually worked out okay. this race looks really weak and she's off 116. I definitely think she's plenty in hand and I think she'll win.
Oh, marvellous. James, what's your Sunday best?
A horse I've been waiting a little while to run, A Little Chaos. That's in the 210 at Market Raisin. She's a horse who won nicely at Fakenham last time. She's going up in class and has got to give a bit of weight away, but I was really impressed with her at Fakenham. And I think we could see her improving for a top-notch trainer, Stuart Edmonds.
Yeah, Stuart Edmonds, a second big up for Stuart Edmonds on the postcast. Okay, thank you very much, James. And finally, what have you got for us on Sunday, G-Rod? Have you sussed one?
Yeah, 3:35, Huntingdon.
Yeah.
Vivaccio. Coming down the weights really quickly. I like it when that happens, you know. Obviously been running terribly as a result, but I mean, it's only 4 starts ago. The horse was running off 115. Now it's running off a mark of 104. We've got Hugh Nugent claiming another £7. I mean, down in class, down in the weights, it's only a matter of time before Vivaccio strikes. I think it could be at Huntingdon on Sunday.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, gents. Good luck with all those tips. What are you up to at the weekend, Niall? Whenever I ask you, working both days?
Yeah, I'm working tomorrow, but I'm off Sunday, so I'm actually going out for a few pints after work with an ex-colleague. But yeah, decent weekend.
Oh, lovely. Good luck with that. I hope you have a great weekend. James, what are you up to?
Working.
Both days?
Both days, yeah. I'm working from home tomorrow, so that's not too bad. Yeah.
What are you, the live tipster?
No, just I've got all this anti-post-festival stuff to get through.
All right.
For Mr. Andrew Pennington, so yeah, I'll get that sorted tomorrow, and then Sunday I'm back in here.
And G-Rod?
Yeah, I'm off all weekend, which is lovely.
You're thinking of going to Ascot, aren't you? But you're toying with it because the train disruption's causing grief for you and anxiety, isn't it?
I might go to Ascot. I'll almost certainly go racing. I might go to Ascot. If I don't go to Ascot, I'll probably go to Horsheath point to pointing.
Right.
But Ascot's favourite at the moment.
Okay.
Sunday, again, I'll try and convince the missus to do 2 days. It's worth doing 2 days of racing. Not that she'll come with me on Saturday, but I could probably get away with taking her and the kids on Sunday. Huntingdon is obviously down the road from me, so I could be tempted by that. But again, there's a point at Charing in Kent, which is not a million miles from me. So again, it'll either be Huntingdon or Charing. I'm looking forward to a racing weekend this weekend because the weather's
interesting to know where you're going to end up because all sorts of possibilities.
I'll update everyone on Twitter because I'm sure they'll be on tenterhooks to find out where I'm going. You know,
yeah.
So I'll let them know.
Option. Yeah, and the good thing about the train disruption is that thanks to G-Rod, we've elongated this postcast to about an hour, which is roughly how long it'll take you to get halfway to Ascot if you're getting a train from London. I think someone said you've got to go via Reading. There's an option from Paddington. So if you are going to Ascot, 9 fantastic races, but if you're going by train, it is going to be a bit of a slog. Okay, thank you very much, gents. Just to tell you about next week's postcasts, Maddie is back on Monday to look back on a momentous weekend and look ahead to next weekend, which has got Kempton, Newcastle got the Ida, and there's also Lingfield, some really top-notch all-weather action there. On Tuesday, we resume our anti-post Cheltenham postcast, and on Wednesday, Steve Palmer is back from his holidays for another golf postcast. We've got racing on football on Thursday and racing next Friday, so loads going on. I hope you can join us, and don't forget, if you do enjoy the shows, please rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.